All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3. Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Business. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined today by a good friend of mine. He and I are in a mastermind group together and have learned a lot from one another and have had him on my radio network in the past. But he's got a new book out, which we're here to talk about today. But welcome back to the show, Andy Paul, author, speaker, and executive coach. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm always excited when my buddies put out a new book because that just gives me another chance to learn from all these brilliant people that reside in my network. So great to have you. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. So before we get into a conversation about the new book, which is called Amp Up Your Sales, Powerful Strategies That Move Customers to Make Fast, Favorable Decisions, remind the audience a bit, Andy, about you and your background.
Sure. So I'm CEO and founder of a company called Zero Time Selling, Inc. That's my consulting coaching business, author of 2 books, Amp Up Your Sales, as you talked about, in my first book, Zero Time Selling. And a lot with companies, sort of mid-sized, small companies that have really reached sort of crisis mode in terms of sales growth. You know, they've hit a plateau and don't know how to go forward. And it's really what I work with on sort of a day-to-day basis with companies. Say, okay, how do we get you back on the right track? How do we get you on a, you know, accelerated sales growth basis going forward?
All right. Well, again, the new book, Amp Up Your Sales. I asked this question of every sales author I talk to, Andy, and you know that I talk to a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is asked not from a position of pure snark. It's an honest question. And I always am intrigued by how you all answer this. But did the world really need another sales book? This isn't your first sales book. Walk me through why you had to write Amp Up Your Sales.
Sure. Well, I think people write, at least maybe I can only speak for myself, is, you know, I write because I feel it's sort of a calling. Is that I think I have a unique perspective, what I believe is a unique perspective about the business of sales, the craft of selling, and want to share it. Because I think that there have been some really fundamental changes in the way business is transacted. And if you're trying to continue to do things with the same old mindset, it's not to say that everything has completely changed, but there are aspects of the mindset that I think salespeople need to change to be more successful going forward. Thought it was really important to put it out there and have that part of the discussion. I mean, it's not like I'm convinced that, you know, mine is the only point of view that's valid out there. I think, as you talked about, we're part of this mastermind group with a lot of smart people that, you know, I can learn from every one of them. But I thought there was really something that was important to add to the conversation at this point in time in terms of what salespeople should be doing so they can become unambiguously clear about what steps they should be taking every time they talk with a customer.
I love how you called it the craft of selling, because I do believe it is an art form. I believe it is an art. I think it's a skill that needs to be practiced and honed. Do you think everyone can be a good salesman, or is it really meant for just a few lucky people who develop that craft?
Well, you definitely have to develop the craft, but there are lots of different ways of approaching it, right? I don't think there's one personality type that is, you know, a sales personality or somebody has sales DNA. And I get this a lot because in my career, prior to starting my own company in the year 2000, I spent quite a long time working with a variety of tech companies and venture-funded tech companies in Silicon Valley and Southern California, where I made it sort of a career to technical people and turn them into really good salespeople, you know, people that had no sales background. And you always get sort of pushback from certain parties to say, well, that person, you know, doesn't have the sales personality. But it really gets down to, in my mind, and I talk about this in the new book, is that what's the customer want from a salesperson? You know, what a customer wants is, you know, they want somebody that's going to help them make a decision. They want somebody that's going to give them the information they need to be able to quickly move through their buying process and reach a decision point. And, you know, we tend to be sort of hung up in general in sort of the sales, you know, community, if you will, in general. You look at typical job descriptions, they're all about, you know, I want a hunter, I want a closer, I need an extrovert. Where really what the customer wants is they want somebody to help them, you know, get smart about the solution they're trying to purchase and help them make that decision. So, you know, they're looking for problem solvers. They're looking for analytical types. They're looking for people that are curious, that, you know, people that are learning based, that to, you know, are going to learn new things and add to their craft and their knowledge base that they can bring to bear to help that customer make a decision.
You led off the book, Andy, by spelling out some new definitions of selling and buying. I mean, I would think people would understand what that is, but why did you feel you had to do that?
Well, because I think they don't understand. You know, I think that sort of the bottom line is salespeople, if you were to, I think, survey 100 salespeople, you would get 98% of them would tell you that selling is something they do to the customer, right? I'm going to sell to the customer, as opposed to saying, look, this is a collaborative, interactive process that we're going to work with you to help you make this decision. And from the buyer's perspective, as I alluded to in the previous question, is they want to make decisions faster. Research is showing, you know, across the board, customers want to make decisions faster. In fact, companies view this capability of making fast, good decisions as a strategic advantage, a competitive advantage. Because, you know, if you're selling something, if there are companies in the market to buy a service or a solution that's going to help them bring new products to market 20% faster, well, they don't want to spend a year making that decision if they could make that decision in 3 months if they're given the right information to do so. Because that 9 months, then they could be using to implement that new solution and getting the benefit from it. So if customers want to make decisions faster, I said, okay, what's buying really about? What it is really just about, you know, customer trying to gather information quickly to make good decisions with the least investment of their own time and resources. And then selling, I use this quote, as you saw in the book, from Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, which I thought was this fabulous quote that was sort of the most concise description of what I think sales really is and that I've practiced in my career, is that he said, you know, quote, we don't make money when we sell things. We make money when we help customers make purchase decisions. And that's really, in a nutshell to me, that is sales. You're trying to help the customer make purchase decisions. So when you get back to your question, you know, are salespeople made or are they born, I guess, is part of the reason that you can have very knowledgeable, more special people with more specialized knowledge who aren't from a typical sales bracket. And the reason you can have them be successful in sales is suddenly they see their mission is not to sort of the typical sales model, sort of imposing themselves on the customer, but it's a service they provide. They're helping the customer make a decision. And that's a whole different mindset. And those type of people can succeed very well in that environment.
Well, your comment or your quote from Bezos is a nice segue into our next discussion, which is around this idea of value and value-based selling. I mean, it's one of those things that the market is want to do and to take something that is a sound, well-understood concept, and then they screw it up. They overuse it. They botch it up. And then you ask, now we're at the point now, you ask 10 people the definition of value, you get 10 different answers.
Yes.
And that's okay. You know, your point earlier of saying sales isn't about selling product, it's about helping and serving. That's what value is, I think, and certainly that's how I define it. And that's probably executed differently for each salesperson. But walk me through what your definition of value is in the context of this book and how you think it ought to be viewed in today's environment.
Sure. Throughout the entire book, yeah, I've tried to take some concepts that I think might be a little bit higher level or higher order and break them down into really simple terms so that people can put them to use in their day-to-day selling. And so to me, value in sales is, again, is very simple. You know, something that if you're going to deliver value to the prospect, that means that it's some information, and that's a pretty broad umbrella information. It could be factual, it could be insights, it could be some wisdom, it could be a testimony from a customer, but information that helps the customer move at least one step closer to making a decision. So if you have an interaction with a prospect to deliver value to them, and that you're going to help them make some forward progress in their buying process. And if you can't do that, if you, you know, this is a problem, as you know, well know from your experience working with salespeople, is that, you know, they tend to operate on autopilot, right? If, you know, if they've talked to a customer and a week goes by and, or 2 days go by, whatever the interval is, and they haven't heard from the customer, they get panicked, you know, they pick up the phone and make that dreaded check-in call with the customer that, you know, that consumes some of the customer time without providing anything of value in return. And so the salesperson really has to say, okay, I need to be deliberate and mindful and thoughtful before every time I reach out to touch a prospect. And it doesn't matter whether it's an in-person call or a phone call or Skype call or email or voicemail. What's the information I'm going to deliver? What's the value I'm going to deliver that's going to help the customer move at least one step closer to making a decision in this interaction? And if I can't define that, then I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be taking that step.
Gosh, how many people send that little email saying, hey, just checking in, let me know if you need anything. I mean, so you're suggesting that that is really a bad move.
It is a bad move because, you know, the customer has a limited amount of time in their day, just like we do. Everybody has a limited amount of time. And with all the things they're trying to get done in their lives, only one thing on their to-do list is, you know, talk to Todd about buying a new widget. So they have to make a conscious decision to invest some of their time in you in order to hear your message that you're going to talk to. And, you know, they need a return on that investment. So as salespeople, you have to think from the concept of, am I providing the customer an opportunity to earn an ROI on the time that they've invested in me? And so if the customer gives me some of their time by listening to me when I pick up the phone and call them, just do a check-in call, they give me some of their time. What did they get in return? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Man, let me tell you, if you're listening to this, you know exactly what we're talking about here. And let me assure you, yours truly is thinking about that too, because we've all done it. I love this idea, though, of be sure that someone's getting an ROI from the time invested in you. I mean, that's going to require some deep thinking on my end after we complete this call. All right, Andy Paul will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, LLC, a creative consultancy that is passionate about ideas, imagination, and facilitating a culture of innovation. Miles Finch Innovation helps companies navigate the messy territory of corporate innovation. They're strategic thinking partners who can help you get unstuck and identify creative solutions to your toughest challenges. They also love to train and speak on the subject of creative leadership. Learn more about how they can help you at milesfinchinnovation.com. Miles Finch Innovation, idea-centric, strategically driven, humanly conscious.
All right, we're back with Andy Paul, executive coach, speaker, and author of the new book, Amp Up Your Sales. One of the things you talk about, Andy, that you know has been a big thing that I've been talking about and writing about is simplifying your sales strategy. Why is that so important? Why is it so necessary?
Well, I think there are so many systems out there, if you will, you know, sales systems that seem to sort of exist for the sake of the system themselves, right? As opposed to really having the focus on what's the task the customer is trying to accomplish. And so I really want to put the focus on that. You know, it's not, you might have a 12-step process, but it's, you know, do you really need a 12-step process? It's really, if you really focus sort of the fundamentals, then the process, you know, some of these complex processes they have for sales, if you will, quote unquote sales, become a little bit less necessary. And so I think that, you know, some real simple things I want people to really focus on that help keep things simple. So one we just sort of talked about once is, you know, make every touch count. Now think about that from a salesperson's perspective is, you know, there's no throwaway interactions with prospects. And salespeople tend to think in sort of general terms is that, yeah, I'll do that check-in call or I'll send them an email to see what's going on. But, you know, you only have a finite number of times to interact with a prospect in a meaningful way in the course of their buying process or in the course of your sales process. You need to make sure that each touch counts, which means you have to be thoughtful. You have to got to be deliberate about the action you're going to take that's going to deliver value to them. And that they are going to recognize that value and commit to taking some steps as a result of receiving it. So make every touch count is, you know, one thing I advocate in terms of keeping things simple. Another step that, again, everybody can focus on, and this is something both these are really under the direct control of the salesperson, which is be absolutely responsive. You know, I talk a lot about responsiveness in the book. I have a very specific definition for it, which is responsiveness is not just being fast, it's delivering information the customer needs with speed. And if you can, as a salesperson, commit yourself to being responsive to your prospects, which starts with following up with sales leads, effectively following up with sales leads, responding to inquiries and questions from customers quickly, generating proposal quickly, all your customer-facing activities is, you know, put them on a timeline and measure, you know, how quickly you can be responsive to customers. It makes a huge difference in your selling. And the great thing is, again, it's all under your control as an individual. This is something you can do yourself. It doesn't have to be part of some overall sales process or sales system. You commit yourself to doing this simple thing, and you're going to see incredible changes in your sales results.
Well, you partially answered my follow-up question. you know me well enough to know that simplifying your sales strategy really speaks to me. And it's easy for me, Andy, because I have a simple business. I have just two offerings, frankly, that I offer the market. And I'm not serving but maybe a couple dozen of prospects, customers at any given time. And so my business to operate and to sell is rather simple. But someone who's listening to this and says, oh, yeah, yeah, that's different for my company. It's different in my line of work. And speak to that, to the guy who's sitting there who does have to work with very complex sales processes. You know, you mentioned at the top half of the show, someone would maybe be happy to sell and buy something from you in 3 months versus 1 year. But sometimes there are very complex sales. Someone's naturally just going to say, I can't simplify this. This process is just how we have to do it here. It sounds like your argument is no, those principles of simplifying apply even to those kinds of sales.
Sure. I mean, I spent 15 years of my career selling large multi-million dollar communication systems to some of the biggest companies in the world. And at the end of the day, what I was doing there is basically what I'm advocating people do here, which is you focus on making sure every touch counts. You be incredibly responsive to your prospects. And to the point you were just talking about, which I think you're, you know, doing a genius thing by basically having two offerings, is you have to clarify your offer for prospects. And it's one of the biggest things I see that is wrong with salespeople, since not just salespeople, but organizations, is they don't make it really clear to the customer what it is they're selling or what it is the customer should be buying from them. And that takes work, right? But having done that, you know, that's something that's replicable. It's something you can use over and over again. But having the ability to say, okay, this is really what I'm selling to you. I'm going to create the vision for you, Mr. Buyer, of what it is that we're selling to you in terms of value, ROI, you know, the outcome that's going to generate for you. And just make, you know, two or three things that are really important to the customer, because ultimately that's what they're buying. I remember one deal I was working on, again, a very large system. There was a RFP that we had to respond to, and there was about five or six vendors we were competing with, and the customer had this compliance matrix where basically is 18 pages long, had about several hundred items on it. You had to say whether you're compliant with all these things. And to me, that seemed sort of nuts to go through that, because I knew from my own experience that there was, out of those 300 items on the compliance matrix, there was one that was the most important to the customer. And if we could focus on, find out what that one thing was, then we could really clarify our offer around that and be way ahead of the competitors in terms of focusing on what the customer really was interested in buying. So, you know, that's part of this whole thing about clarifying your offer and keeping it simple. Customers may be looking for a broad spectrum of items in a solution you're selling, but the fact is there's one that stands head and shoulders above all the others, and you need to find out which one that is.
Yeah, I always shudder when I hear the word matrix in the context of a sales process conversation. You and I both know that if it's done right, that can be useful, but most of the time it's not done right. Hey, I want to wrap by asking about this concept that you've introduced in this book called Peak End Rules in Selling.
Sure.
What is that all about? Why is that important for salespeople to know and understand?
Well, again, the concept itself is fairly simple, but there's a little bit of a background just quickly. It's based on research done by a Nobel Prize winning economist named Daniel Kahneman, where in his study about how people make decisions, he found that when people go through an experience or a process, when they get to the end of that and they're looking back to make a decision about that, there's probably two primary factors they keep in mind when they make a decision. The first one is the peak experience during that process they went through, and then the last contact during that, or the last experience during that process. So if you put that in the terms of sales, what it's saying is that you may have multiple touch points with a customer during your buying process, their sub-buying process, your sales process, but there's going to be one that's the peak experience that they're going to remember dealing with you, and there's going to be the last contact. And those are the two things that they're going to weigh pretty heavily in their decision. And so the importance in the context of sales is you can't predict ahead of time which of your touch points during your sales process is going to be the peak experience. So you have to be prepared to be at your best every time you interact with the prospect. And just a quick, simple example is, you know, a company is researching a solution and they narrow their pool down to three prospective vendors they think can do the job. And so they send an email request to all three to have a salesperson call them. And this actually happened to a gentleman I know, and he had his company was looking for a software solution. They went to three different vendors, asked for them to call back. None of them replied. You know, it took 5 days for the first seller to call back. But if just one of the sellers had called back on the first day, as he had requested, in the mind's eye of him as a customer, that would have been a peak experience. That vendor would very well have won the sale that day just based on the customer's perception of their responsiveness. And so I said, you can't predict in advance which touch is going to be the most important one in the eyes of your prospects. So you have to make them all really strong. You have to treat them all with equal importance.
Yeah, man, that's going to require a lot of deep thinking on my end, because I don't know that I've done that very well. And that is, boy, that's for me, Andy, that's been the most valuable bit of this conversation, is this idea that every touch has to be of real value and real service to that prospect, because it might be that one touch that does tip the balance. So that's very, very important for all of us to think about. All right. Well, Andy, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn about your work, and most importantly, get their hands on the new book, Amp Up Your Sales?
Thanks, Todd. Well, first is they can visit my website, andypaul.com. The book is available for purchase, Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. If you come to my site, you'll see the various places. Most importantly, though, if you come to andypaul.com/ampupyoursales, you'll have the ability, if you purchase the book and come back to that site and enter your proof of purchase, we're going to give you exclusive free access to a series of 6 interviews with top sales leaders like Jill Conrath and Jeffrey Gittimer and Art Sobchak and Anthony Iannarino about additional advice and recommendation about how to amp up your sales, how to accelerate your sales. It's incredible content that people definitely want to take advantage of. So buy your book, come back to andypaul.com/ampupyoursales, and you'll get access to that video.
Sounds great. Andy Paul, executive coach, speaker, and author of the new book, Amp Up Your Sales, Powerful Strategies That Move Customers to Make Fast, Favorable Decisions. Andy, as always, good to chat. Thanks for stopping by and giving us some time.
Todd, thank you for having me.
Pleasure was mine. All right, well, that wraps this broadcast. Again, on behalf of my guest, Andy Paul, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Business.